Investing Today with Michael Kelsey at OCA. Man, it's just about time. We're about to get to move into a new year. Aren't we ready?
We are so ready for a new year. 2020 has been, you know, we've seen all the memes and the little axioms and the sayings and so forth, but truly 2020 is one for the books. Hopefully we've learned a lot of very valuable lessons. That's certainly something in the beef industry that we're trying to take as to what have we learned and then what can we apply as we move forward to better serve our consumer, to be more profitable as producers, whether we're large or small or medium sized or whatever the case may be. But you're absolutely right, Casey. We are ready for a new year and to get away from 2020.
Well, we have had some high points. You know, folks have had to learn how to really reach out to their customers in completely different ways and how to still stay active. And you guys have done a great job with that this year.
Well, thank you. That's one thing that in serving our members, that's certainly something that we recognized early on. Way back, it seems like forever ago, but it was only back in March, we started to get a lot of calls from consumers here in Oklahoma asking for ranchers that sell beef directly to consumers for several reasons. Number one, we all remember that the grocery store, in large part, a lot of grocery stores were bare of beef because of the disruption in the beef supply chain. But we also saw consumers were at home. We went into lockdown and so forth. So they were at home. They had more time to cook. Many of them wanted to explore cooking. We saw that in beef demand. Beef demand in 2020 remained very, very strong. And so we put together a direct consumer list, a direct beef to consumer list. When we released that list on a Thursday about 8:30, by about 5 o'clock that evening, we had over 5,000 hits on that website alone. And since then, it has just continued to grow. And many of our members have either advanced their business, they were already selling a little beef directly to consumers and they've had an opportunity to grow, or we've had a lot of new members come into a new part of the business selling directly. And that's a great opportunity for them. And again, some of these producers are large, sell a lot of cattle, not only to consumers, but also directly into the marketing, the beef supply market. But we've also got some members who you and I might call small producers, 5-10 head, and they're doing that as well, and it's helped them to gain some of that market share, and that's a great thing. So that's one thing that COVID has taught us and given us an opportunity to directly connect better and closer to the consumer.
Well, and the dietary guidelines have just come out and of course shows beef and how important it is.
You know, Casey, we work on a lot of issues in our industry, and I would tell you in my opinion that this issue alone might be perhaps the most important issue we work on. Every 5 years, the government, USDA and FDA go through the process of the dietary guidelines. Goes back all the way to the old food guide pyramid. I remember when I was in elementary school, we learned that food guide pyramid. It was back on the back of cereal boxes. We didn't have Facebook back then to view while we ate breakfast. We looked at the back of our cereal box. And that old food guide pyramid, the dietary guidelines, you and I, and maybe most folks here in Oklahoma, don't pay a lot of attention to what the government tells us we should consume as far as nutrition. But any program that receives federal financial aid must adhere to the dietary guidelines. And so it's vitally important that our industry have input and protect and promote our product, beef, in those dietary guidelines. This set of dietary guidelines that was just released, huge win for the beef industry. And our friends at NCBA, both on the checkoff and on the policy side, have done a monumental, very important job this year on this group, not only positioning beef in what's called a nutrient-dense a behavior or attitude towards nutrition, nutrient dense, but also keeping out those things that don't have anything to do with nutrition, such as how an animal's raised or sustainability, or all those things may be important and certainly may be important in terms of marketing and how a producer may position their product individually, but from a beef nutrition standpoint, they have no place in the dietary guidelines. And NCBA was successful in keeping those out. So this is a big win, perhaps again, maybe the most important work we do to protect and promote our product on a federal and national level.
Well, I don't know about you, but I love it when the dietary guidelines meet up with my dietary guidelines.
I'm with you. I feel pretty good about that, don't you? I do. I sure do.
Like when it tastes good, that makes it even better, right?
Even better. I love it.
Put a bunch of stuff on there that we didn't like. That wouldn't be nearly as fun. But this is
It wouldn't be half as fun at all. And to know that, hey, my beef consumption is right in the middle of it, as well as all the other good, nutritious foods. Absolutely, I'm right with you.
Well, let's talk about going forward. I know you guys have your policy meeting coming up, your winter policy meeting. What are some of your big topics going to be?
Yeah, we've got our winter policy meeting on January 26th. We're going to move forward with that meeting at this point in time. And Lord willing, we're able to continue to have that meeting in person. It's vitally important because that's one of the biggest policymaking meetings of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. That and the convention would be the other one. This is an opportunity for OCA members to gather together and talk about the issues in terms of policy. I think we're going to see some things moving forward. Again, how do we continue to position producers more directly to consumers, as well as how do we shore up protections for our beef supply chain? Those are lessons we've learned from COVID. One thing that, Casey, I think we're going to be looking at, we're going to start working with NCBA. We've already started laying the groundwork for this. We need to quantify on a national level the expansion that we're seeing in beef packing on the local, the small, and regional basis. We all know that 80 to 85% of the fat kill, the fed animal kill, beef animal kill is controlled by four packers. But and we're probably not going to build a major packing plant anytime soon. It's too expensive, the labor, the environmental issues, and so forth. But if we're seeing across the country, like what we're seeing in Oklahoma in terms of the advancement and the building of small and weekly regional type processors, if you add all that up on a national basis, we may actually add a significant amount of packing capacity. We need to know that. We need to know as best we can what that number is, because then that will help us in marketing our cattle. So I look for some discussion at that. About that issue at our policy meeting, as well as we're already beginning work with NCBA to try to quantify some of that. Obviously, we'll be looking at marketing issues. The new administration that's coming in, the Biden administration, is going to really give us some challenges as far as some of the environmental work that we'll have to do, and really shoring up the environmental impact, the positive environmental impact that the beef industry has, both nationally as well as internationally. Also, trade is going to be another big issue that we need to continue to work on in promoting our product on an international basis. No shortage of issues that we're going to be working on, and some policy making decisions that we'll have to make.
Well, what are your thoughts on the Ramp Up Act? Were you guys excited that we saw that go forward and pass?
Oh, absolutely. I can't sing enough praises for Congressman Lucas and not only his idea to bring that to language, but also his patience in maneuvering and waiting and then finally getting that language in a position to where it could be passed. And there's a lot to be said for that. It's kind of like a running back who waits until that hole opens up and then just explodes through it. Here we are in the bowl season, so I'm thinking about that. But that's exactly what Representative Lucas did. He positioned that language, he put that out there, and then he waited for an opening and then just got right in there. The Ramp Act is fantastic. Again, going back to the discussion of advancement or increasing local and regional packing facilities, either those that are in existence to maybe add a few head or a handful of head on a daily or weekly basis, as well as those new operations, again, smaller operations. But from a total standpoint, I really truly believe they have an opportunity to add a significant impact on packing capacity. And I think we're going to look at this in maybe 2 or 3 years and recognize that the Ramp Act was a very specific and meaningful piece in helping us move forward there. So we're delighted and very happy to see that.
Well, Michael, I'm looking forward to a whole bunch of things as we get started into 2021. Who would have thought, you know, one of my very first meetings was going to the OCA winter policy meeting, and I felt like that was one of the most normal things I did this year.
I tell you what, well, you're welcome around our fire at any time. Please come to the 26th. We've got a lot of important work to do. And Casey, I'll close by saying this. You know, every year you think about resolutions and goals for the new year and so forth. I tell you what, maybe I'm just an eternal optimist, but I really see a lot of opportunity in agriculture and in the beef industry here in Oklahoma. It's tough. There's no question. Markets are tough. Weather's tough. All those types of things that are just significantly difficult in amongst themselves. And if you add them all up, it really makes it tough. But what other industry, if you will, that we have an opportunity as a livelihood? This is where we raise our kids and we instill up in them a work ethic and honesty and integrity and cooperation, as well as providing a necessary food product for the world. I just think there's great opportunity for the beef industry in Oklahoma for anybody who wants to get in, whether you want to have 10 or 15 head or whether you want to have 10,000 head. I think there's an opportunity to do that. And as far as OCA is concerned, that's what we're going to work on. I appreciate you letting me be maybe a little nostalgic and opportunistic there, but I'm excited about what's coming in 2021 and beyond.
Me too. And we're just going to look back on this and realize all the things that we somehow learned throughout the year. And then also hope we never go back.
Amen. I don't ever want to go back to this. I hope this is another one of those 100-year events, if you will. And I'll be long gone and we'll read about it somewhere up in the newspaper in heaven. You betcha.
Same. Well, thank you, Michael, so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Casey. Happy New Year.